Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have the GOAT, Teresa Walker, coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that. We'll get into the Titans with her. We'll also get into some Vandy and Tennessee hoops with the SEC tournament coming up this week in Nashville as well. So looking forward to that. David Poyle, Predators general manager, joining us at 8:30. Right now talking Titans, taking your thoughts on Derrick Henry. Caleb and Gallatin on the text line says, do you guys think they told Rand Carthon that the fan base will explode if he comes in and trades Henry as his first big move as the new GM? Not going to win in many fans over starting out like that. This from Caleb from Gallatin on the text line.
I feel like so many mini rants are being inspired this morning. If you're a GM and you worry about stuff like that, then again, you're just not going to be a successful GM. I'm sorry. Like you win. That's it. Win. So you're right. Look. I think it'll be sad if Derrick Henry is gone and doesn't get to, you know, basically play out his career until he's definitely done being a great player. And as of last year, I am not willing to say he's done being a great player. So I get it. You're right. He's one of the top three, clearly, right? One of the top three
in Tennessee Titans history, yes.
Clearly. And you can make a case for him to be as good as anyone and as beloved as anyone, and I get all that, and the fans would be very upset. But if you're Rand Carthon and you think 1 second about that, one fraction of a second about that, you can't do the job. So I'm sorry. Like, to me, and some people can disagree with me and think you have to consider stuff like that. Nah, man, you have to build a great team, and you're trying to win a Super Bowl, and you have to win. And if it works out that moving him helps you get there in the big picture of the plan, go ahead. I just feel like the return is going to be very underwhelming compared to, especially to what some people clearly think that he might fetch.
Well, and there's another move made yesterday in the NFL that is really interesting to me for a couple of reasons. Derek Carr signs with New Orleans yesterday. It's a 4-year deal, $150 million. And, you know, obviously the Saints were a team that were in on him really from the start. And, you know, before he was even cut from the Raiders, there was talk about being traded from the Raiders to the Saints. So obviously there has been interest from Derek Carr's part to the Saints. I do find it interesting, though, that he has made the decision to just go ahead and do that and that the Jets are totally out of it, because now the Jets basically have their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. Like, if Rodgers decides that he's coming back and playing in Green Bay, or that he's coming back and playing for the Raiders, or that he's retiring, like, what are the Jets going to do? Because they've made it pretty clear. I mean, they need a new quarterback. They do not want Zach Wilson to be their starting quarterback next year. So, like, to me right now, like, the Jets are praying that Aaron Rodgers chooses to be traded and chooses to go to the Jets and that they make that work. If they don't, what are the Jets going to do at quarterback? And I saw this thrown around yesterday, and I thought about it too as soon as Derek Carr made the decision to sign with New Orleans. I believe Ryan Tannehill could be very attractive to the New York Jets if Aaron Rodgers decides that he's not going to New York.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think, you know, so go down the list. I think the eggs are in the Rodgers basket. They have been. At this point, I'm going to have to think that Aaron Rodgers will be with the Jets. But what if that doesn't work out?
Yeah, like, what are they going to do? I mean, I think
They are absolutely going to. They have to have a quarterback, like a quarterback who can play, who has played well.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, Ryan Tannehill. I don't think the reaction in New York would be like, "Oh, great, we've got Ryan Tannehill." Like, it's not going to be the sexiest reaction.
Will not be a parade.
But I mean, look, if it wasn't going to be Rodgers and your backup plan was Derek Carr, we've talked about this. Like, Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill to me are basically one and the same. Like, you could make the argument Ryan Tannehill is better than Derek Carr.
I'd take Tannehill.
I mean, so I think, look, I'll put it this way. Ryan Tannehill with that roster and the young pieces that they have, I think they'd have a chance to be really good. I think the Jets would have a chance to be really good if he could stay healthy.
Jets fans would not overall would not know how good they had it if they got Tannehill.
Well, and that's a deal if you're the Titans. I mean, I think you could get some significant return for it. Like, we talked about the return for Derrick Henry. Like, I think you could get a decent return for Ryan Tannehill just based on the position that he plays if that's the route you decided to go if you're the Titans. Now, look, the Titans may have no interest in trading Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying, like, if the Jets don't get Rodgers, the options at quarterback for them are very limited at that point.
And here's another example of what we're talking about, like with Rand Carthon. You have to be nimble. You have to react to situations. You don't know. You may be like, yeah, you know, going to go forward with Tannehill, and here's a plan, this. And then something happens, and it's like you get a call, and it's like, okay, wait a minute. We need to think about this, right? So, yeah, I'd still be surprised if it happened. But if you're the Jets, you got that. You got, what, Baker Mayfield?
Yep.
Jimmy G's
out there.
Lamar might not get the exclusive tag.
That's right. I mean, other things could happen too, I suppose. I mean, you could – yeah, that's the thing. They're not messing around with trying, right? They're not messing around with trying to make this happen with a drafted rookie. I mean, like,
you just drafted somebody number two overall, yeah, 2 years ago.
Like, you can't do it. Yeah, you just drafted Darnold and then Zach Wilson, so you can't do it. So, yeah, I think that's a very intriguing situation that you just have to monitor. By the way, on the quarterback front, how about Geno Smith getting the bag?
Yeah, good for him.
I didn't see that happen.
I didn't either.
You know, he played pretty well last year. And, I mean, that deal is still, you know, it's
well,
not crazy.
It's not crazy. And look, this is the thing about the Tannehill deal, right? I mean, the cap hit has been a large cap hit. I mean, that is the one part about Warren Sharp's tweet that is correct. It's been a very hefty size cap hit for Ryan Tannehill. But the money and where he's at contractually now, like, I think moving that contract to the Jets, if they were interested – like, that's a very movable contract. I mean, you've got basically no guaranteed money after this year. I mean, it's very movable.
Sure.
If you're the Titans on that front. So, look, I'm not saying that should be the plan for the Titans. I'm just saying I'm definitely keeping my eye, if I'm the Titans, on the Aaron Rodgers situation, because it kind of feels like it's either going to be Green Bay or the Jets at this point based on a lot of the talking points around this. And if it's not the Jets, then the Jets are in a heck of a spot with their quarterback position, and maybe you can take advantage of that if you're the Titans.
Why can't it be?
And then you got to find a quarterback.
Why can't it be the Titans?
For Rodgers?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be.
Why? I mean, are you saying there's got to be a chance? By the way, is Derek Carr in the NFC? It's such. If you're a quarterback, go to the NFC, man.
Well, that's why I think he made a smart decision. Like, I think the Jets have a better roster than the Saints do. I mean, I don't think that's that much of a hot take, right?
No. But if you're Derek Carr and you, like, what if, and I'm not getting too optimistic about Michael Thomas, but Olave and Kamara being healthy, I mean, it's not bad. You should win your division now.
Look at
you
the should. Other quarterbacks yeah. in his division.
Right. Look at the other quarterbacks in his division, the other quarterbacks in the NFC.
Well, especially if Rodgers leaves. Like, if Rodgers goes
to the AFC.
To the AFC. Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFC at that point?
I mean, Stafford, if he can get back healthy, you forget about him.
Jalen Hurts.
Right? Obviously, Hurts, yeah, the way he played last year, absolutely. I still think Dak is good. Cousins is good, whether people want to admit it or not. He's good.
But think about, what,
it's pretty
about what we're talking about right here.
No, for sure. No, it's. I mean, Daniel Jones, he thinks he deserves $80 million a year. So.
It's just unbelievable.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff.
That's true. Thank you for including the Mighty Lions.
Yeah.
No, it's that, and then you compare it to the other conference. I mean, I'd go there too. It's like gosh, it's like, you know.
Joe, don't look now.
You're a backup in the Big Ten. You go to the MAC for some action and just light it up. What's that now?
I said, don't look now. The Lions are calling you. They might need you.
Yeah. Yeah. I abandoned them long ago.
615-737-1025. So a couple of things on the table. What do you make of the report that Derrick Henry is being shopped by the Tennessee Titans? And what do you think of Derek Carr signing with the Saints and the effect that that could have on the quarterback market? We'll continue the discussion on all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Friend of the show, John Oates, bringing us back in. Maybe Rex Road's all-time favorite moment in the history of this program.
Yeah, we should. I know we should have some like John. Can we get some John Oates drops just to remember the time that we had with John Oates? I need Hall & Oates a tour again too, man. Yeah. I've only seen him the one time.
Well, he's been on our radio show one time too, so maybe we can work on that again. John, come back on. We get a John Oates Scott Stapp duo on the show would be great.
Yeah, we don't need to. You know, let's stick with the good music and not the bad music. John Oates Tom Izzo combo. How about that?
Oh man. Think about the pre-show meeting that could be. 615-737-1025. Josh on the text line says, famous Jameis to the Jets because the Jets have to jet at least once this offseason. Please, for the love of A.J. Brown's Twitter, do not trade Derrick Henry. This is from Josh on the text line.
Somebody on here is, by the way, begging for Jameis Winston to the Titans. So maybe the Titans could finally have the one and the two pick from the 2015 draft.
Let me tell you this. They wouldn't be any good. But, man, would it be fun.
It would be fun.
I enjoy watching Jameis.
Yeah, where is Jameis going to go?
He's got to be a backup at this point,
he's a
right?
backup with somebody, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's still, I tell you, there's still times. He can, at times, like, the arm talent is spectacular.
The pregame speeches are spectacular, and those, too.
Well, that's right. That too.
Anytime you get him mic'd up, I'm totally on board with it. That's why I wouldn't. If they want to bring him in as the backup, I'm all for it. Bring Jameis in, man.
That would be
fun. Or he could be around. Better off it is for us.
Exactly. Yeah, we may need interesting things next year apart from, you know, wins and losses if the Titans are having the fire sale that people are freaking out about.
Yeah, maybe so. So, the first off, Derek Carr, he got $100 million guaranteed. $100 million guaranteed for Derek Carr. Good for him. I did not think that he would get – I mean, it's a four-year, $150 million deal. I did not think he would get $100 million guaranteed. I mean, he got the same trade protection that he had with the Raiders too. Like, that's a good job by his agent. I did not expect
it that. It is. But quarterbacks are – look, Lamar Jackson obviously is trying to get Deshaun Watson guarantee money. In the meantime, you're going to see these ridiculous guaranteed numbers, I think, for quarterbacks. You know, who signed new deals in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good.
He's good. He's a good player. Like, but I think clearly the Saints are clearly the favorite now in the NFC South, I think. Now, what does that ultimately mean? I have no idea. I still don't know how good they are. Like, you know, if the Saints win the NFC South, that's great. Are they actually a threat to do anything with Derek Carr as their quarterback? I kind of have my doubts. But – that's a lot of money.
I mean, good for him. I think they're back in the playoffs next year, and
I agree.
Who knows? They've got some good pieces. You gonna have with any of these teams, like if Derek Carr is going to be what they obviously think he is, paying him that kind of money, and if you have a great offseason, and you know you have health luck. What if you actually did have health luck with Kamara and Michael Thomas?
I mean,
all of a sudden it's wow, it's an interesting team again.
Well, then Chris Olave, I think, has a chance to be pretty good.
Yes.
Like, I think he could be pretty good. And they've got some good pieces on defense, too. I mean, I think they could be good. I just look at Derek Carr and I'm like, is Derek Carr the type of quarterback that you can really do damage with in the postseason? I mean, we've not seen it to this point.
We've seen one game. He played okay in the loss to Cincinnati a couple years ago. This I just have to read this. Derek and Tannehill both go to the Jets for Sauce Gardner and the Jets' entire draft in 24, like the Herschel Walker trade. Titans get 11, 13 packages in both for a top five pick. Grab a QB. Maybe I shouldn't drink in the AM. LOL. That's the funny thing. It's like, for anybody old enough like me,
yep,
who remembers the Herschel Walker trade, I think that's maybe some of the people on here talking about Derrick Henry and what he could fetch. Think about that, because it was such a different league. But Herschel Walker, I mean, that made the Cowboys. Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, that's why. That made them, because the Vikings were like, oh, Herschel Walker is what will win us a Super Bowl. A running back who wasn't all that young at that point. I mean, he wasn't old. I think he was only about 28. But
think about what Derrick Henry could have fetched back in the day for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Right. Back in the day, we're talking a totally different thing. Now, you know, someone on the text line, I don't know if this is true, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, by the way. I don't know if this is true, but it's a great stat if it is true that since 2009, and I forgot to credit you and I've lost the text. Was it Lance?
Yep.
The average salary for running back, that's a great stat if it's true. Since 2009, the average annual salary for the Super Bowl winning running back, $1.11 million. But it's a great stat. It's not all that surprising. The position is incredibly devalued. Doesn't mean Derrick Henry isn't a great player. Doesn't mean, to me, let's remember, they were one half of football away from at least being in a Super Bowl because of him.
I got a text that says, are the Titans seeming cheap this offseason, maybe because of the new stadium, or are the Titans expected to drop $70 to $90 million in free agency to compare to last year's money spent? This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
And I said, we don't know. Like, they haven't been able to – I mean, this, like you said earlier in the show, something everyone needs to – take deep breaths.
The calendar matters.
This is only right now. It is only exiting right now the facility, right? So we'll see what they do to bring people into the facility.
Chad on YouTube says, am I crazy for thinking that one of the three of Tannehill, Henry, or Simmons will be moved somehow? It seems like there's a lot of smoke. What are the chances all three are on the team in week one? It's from Chad on YouTube.
So at this point, that's a great question. At this point, I've already put 86% Tannehill. I'm not moving off that. All this stuff is, again, I think it's all worthwhile exploration by Rand Carthon. It's what you should be doing. And GMs talk to reporters sometimes. So Michael Silver got a little nugget that, again, it could be as simple as, so what would Derrick Henry fetch?
Right.
Two GMs having a conversation, gets a reporter, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, they're trading Henry. You know, right now the chances that all three are on the roster – opening day, I'm gonna put it like 80%. You're not there.
No, I'll go 70%.
Okay, so I mean, fine. So we're well over 50.
Yeah, like yeah. It's Jeffrey Simmons, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill. Like the Simmons part of this, like we've talked about this. The only way Simmons isn't on this roster to me is if they use him in a trade to go up and get a quarterback. And I think that's so – it's not impossible. I just think it's so unlikely that
happens.
It's
a great plan by me, but it doesn't mean it will happen.
Right. So, and then, you know, like I said, just because you're shopping Henry does not mean that you're going to trade Henry. And then the Tannehill part of this is the one that I'm just kind of leaving open a little bit. Like, if they love a quarterback in the draft, do they move up to go get him? And if so – or do they have to move up to one? Can they move up to four or five or six and get a quarterback there? You know, what does that look like with the rest of your roster? I have no idea. Like, I do think there is still a little bit of intrigue of, like, do the Titans love one of these quarterbacks in the draft? That's what I'm kind of leaving a possibility open for.
Yes, for sure. And do they look at it like we look at it, which is – Tannehill, 17 in the backfield means, okay, we're going this year. This year, this team is going to win the AFC South and then is going to make a run in the playoffs. This team can do that. That's why I have 17 in my backfield. When you really break everything down in that building, if you just feel like there's just too many holes and it's too much to do in one offseason, then you shouldn't have 17 as your quarterback.
Well, and in all seriousness, like I brought up Tannehill and the Jets. Like if Rodgers goes back to Green Bay and that's what it's going to be, and apparently they have, according to reports, they really don't want him to, but I guess they'll take him if he will. But let's say he goes back to Green Bay and he plays there. Well, then the Jets are up a creek without a paddle at the quarterback position. Like, is the value that you could get back from Tannehill, like, is it something that you can't turn down if you're the Titans at that point? Because I think that could be on the table too. Now, then you have to figure out quarterback if you're the Titans, but I'm just saying, like, what do you think the Titans could get from the Jets for Ryan Tannehill right now if that was the route they had to go?
That's a great – I'm not great on that. I don't have a great feeling on that. You think about Tannehill and the Titans getting him for a fourth with the Dolphins retaining salary.
I think they could get at least a first-round pick. It's a quarterback. Like, I think they could get a first-round pick. So, I don't know how much more than that, but, like, if you could get a first-round pick for Ryan Tannehill, would you do it? I would think about it.
Unless I believe that he can lead me to the Super Bowl this year. Yep. All day.
So, I mean, that's a decision that they could have to make. Now, look, the Jets, if the Jets miss out on Rodgers, their backup plan does not have to be Ryan Tannehill. But you go around the list right now of quarterbacks that are somewhat proven commodities that have a track record of playing good football in the NFL, and a lot of those quarterbacks either aren't going to be moved by their teams or don't exist. Like, there's a limited amount of people the Jets can go after if it's not Rodgers.
Kyle from New York says, I've been trying to sell Jets fans up here in Tannehill for a few months now. They want no part of it. Makes sense considering their rich history at QB.
Yeah. Well, but look.
Ken O'Brien, baby.
Well, the Jets.
Richard Todd.
Jets fans have had their eyes set on Rodgers for 4 months now.
Yeah. If you're like all giddy about Rodgers, it's like, well, how about Tannehill?
Right. It's a little different.
But this also goes to the point of the NFL view of Tannehill. And by the way, it's fed by, oh, here's a playoff game. Let's check out how Ryan Tannehill does against the Cincinnati Bengals. But the NFL view of Tannehill overall is much dimmer than it probably should be. Although the playoff concern is valid.
It is very valid. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans, and we'll look ahead to SEC Tournament Week here in Nashville with Tennessee and Vanderbilt taking place and taking action later this week as well at Bridgestone Arena. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game live at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, on Thursday, March 16th for the first day of tournament games. While you're there, take advantage of the Shot in a Beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey plus a bottle of domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's oversized bar, TVs, and a game room make them the place to catch all the games this year. So make sure you check that out coming up on March 16th. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we are excited to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, except, you know, when you come back from vacation, you tend to forget to switch and readjust the do not disturb signal in the morning.
Hey, your vacation looked pretty fun, though. I'll be honest with you.
It was a lot of fun, I will admit.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. There's a lot to get to. The SEC tournament coming up this week. I want to start on the Titans, though, and a report circulating yesterday that the Titans could be shopping Derrick Henry. What do you think of that, and what do you think of the idea of trading Derrick Henry? Does that make sense for you if you're the Titans this offseason?
Well, guys, it's tough not to think that you have to at least look and see what you can get. You have a new GM. You have a team that didn't make the playoffs that went 7-10. And, you know, here's the thing. A year ago, when Derrick missed 9 games with broken right foot, they managed to win the number one seed in the AFC without him for 9 games. And yet with Ryan Tannehill, they won the AFC number one seed. And when the roles were switched this year and Ryan Tannehill missed games and Derrick Henry, they sat in for one, they lost 7 straight games. So as much as it is tough to even think about Derrick Henry potentially playing for somebody else, Rand Carthon, as the new GM, is not doing due diligence if he doesn't see what's out there and see what kind of return he could get, because his number one job is to try and get this team better. and do whatever it is possible to make them better as an offense. I mean, he was the second leading rusher in the NFL, and they lost their last seven games. So, I mean, you have to see what you could possibly get. Now, I don't think that means you absolutely trade him, because you have to get a great return for him. But for people thinking that, oh, if you trade Derrick Henry, that's going to get you a number one draft pick, no, that's not what the return would be. So, Rand Carthon was, hired, and John Robinson was fired because what they did this last season wasn't good enough. So you have to at least see what could potentially be out there.
Do you think, Teresa, that, let's say, Rand Carthon's first off season is great, and he makes a lot of great choices, they run it back, do you think that there's a scenario where this team could be a Super Bowl contender in 2023?
Well, contender, yes. But here's the thing. I mean, there is enough talent on this team. When you look at this team and you see what's on defense and you see that Harold Landry will be coming back, to me it still centers around how do they fix the offensive line and what skill positions do they put on the offensive side of the ball. That's the area that was so, so bad last year. And for a team that did hold, I mean, they were 3 minutes away from being the, three-time AFC South champ. And then once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. I've seen it. So while it seems like you've got to have a Patrick Mahomes or something like that to make sure you go and win a Super Bowl, it has been done in different ways. So, I just want to see this team be healthy for a season and then see what they can do. We have not seen that these last 2 years. And even when they did 2 years ago, set the NFL record using 91 different players, most ever in a non-strike season, they were the number one seed, and that defense came up with 9 sacks to the team and 3 turnovers. The last one, 20 seconds, is what, and that team that they lost to is the team that I helped cover in L.A. in the Super Bowl. So, that's the thing about football in the NFL. It's being healthy and making the right plays at the right time, and you can go make a run. So, I can't say that they have to have this or that or X or Y or Z to be a Super Bowl contender. First, you got to be healthy, and that's the thing that this team has not been for 2 straight seasons.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press with us here on Robbie and Rexo. Teresa, the SEC tournament getting underway this week here in Nashville. Obviously, a devastating injury to Zakai Ziegler for the Vols. What do you think that does for this team in terms of their chances moving forward? What's your viewpoint of Rick Barnes and the squad that he's got as tournament time rolls around?
Well, hopefully they think that Nashville, while it's not Knoxville, is not on the road. Because goodness gracious, they have not done well on the road. And hopefully they've had enough time to start figuring out how to play without Zakai Ziegler. Let's face it, their first game without him on the road, they had a chance, coulda, shoulda, woulda, down at Auburn, and couldn't finish the deal. So they are the defending tournament champs. And for a program that had not won the tournament in 41 years, they found a way to do that last year. They need to find something. They need to figure out, what they can do. There's going to be orange and white in Bridgestone Arena. It's that simple. Now, who's going to be stronger? Is it the blue mist? Is it the orange and white? One of those should have a predominant color in the stands come Thursday and Friday. But it's going to be how they play on the court that's going to matter most. I mean, let's not forget, and then, oh yeah, there's Alabama that comes in here with a player that Brandon Miller that, essentially is coming home. I'm really curious to see how the crowd reacts to him. He's heard some ugly things chanted at him by opposing fans when they've been on the road. So, with 5 ranked teams and then 2 others receiving votes, including Vanderbilt, as strange as that might seem to think, I mean, Vanderbilt, went to Rupp a week ago and won a game. And trust me, I heard about it from some Kentucky fans that were on my trip. You know, they weren't very happy about, Vanderbilt going into Rupp and winning for the first time since 2007. So, guys, I hate to say it, this may be as open a tournament as there's been that I can remember, because of the fact that, you know, you can't look and say, well, it's absolutely Alabama's to win. Alabama, who I, if I'm remembering correctly, was the team that left here a couple years ago with the title. But, you know, that was because Tennessee had the injury, unfortunately, to John Fulkerson in the game to Florida. So I'm expecting a fun tournament this week. And I don't think you can say that it's absolutely Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas A&M's to win.
I think it's a great question about the crowd. I do think that with Matt Jones and Michelle in Kentucky gear cheering on press row, I don't know. I don't know if anybody can overcome that fan support. But
come on now, if I see that, I'm throwing a flag.
Teresa, no, I'm better than that. I won't.
But Matt Jones,
Matt
will.
Jones is not.
Someone needs to body check Matt Jones as he with his foam finger. I'm just saying. We need to keep an eye out for him. Vanderbilt. Teresa, Jerry Stackhouse is SEC Coach of the Year, co-coach of the year with Buzz Williams, Liam Robbins, Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, I did not see that one coming. But, I mean, for Stackhouse, think about, like, the last month. You go from, like, the 57-point loss to Alabama to Coach of the Year in the SEC. Has your view of not just this season, which has been a remarkable run, but even, like, the program, the Vanderbilt program at large, has it changed in the last month?
It feels like it. I mean, you win, 8 of 9? How can it not? It makes you, now the thing is that they've got to figure out is starting faster. And a week from, I've been saying a week from Sunday. Well, Sunday, if Vanderbilt's name is not called for the NCAA tournament field, then that loss to Grambling back in the non-conference is going to be a loss that, was a mark that just could not be erased. But, when you've got a winning record in SEC play, how can it not be a big help? I mean, you've got to win conference games, and they've done that. They've shown grit. That last second three, they had not made a shot down the stretch, I think, for nearly 4.5 minutes against Tennessee at Memorial, and yet they, a game that Tennessee should have walked away with as a winner, Jerry Stackhouse and Vanderbilt found a way to win that game. They found a way to make the winning shot at Rupp, again, a place they had not won since 2007. So, yes, they have done the right things. They have come together. And, Jerry Stackhouse, talk about responding and rebounding from an absolutely drubbing by Alabama. And they managed to, to turn it around. And last I checked, the NCAA committee, they do look at how teams finishes. I know that net has become the buzzword, that the one thing that they supposedly look at the most. But playing well in February into March, that is something that you cannot ignore. And if they manage to win 1-2 games here in Nashville, then if they get to 20 wins with a winning record in conference play, I don't know how that, I've seen the projections and seen them on the, being mentioned and stuff. I don't see how you keep them out of the NCAA tournament if they manage to win 2 games and are playing in the semifinals on Saturday.
Teresa, last thing here for you. I want to get your thoughts on the Ja Morant situation with the Grizzlies. Obviously, the Instagram Live early Saturday morning of him kind of flashing a gun around there. He's been indefinitely benched from the team, and he's released a statement as well. What do you make of what's going on right now with Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, I'll say this. I wrote about him when he was at Murray State, thought that with his parents that he had the perfect situation to help keep things, to help keep him on the right path. I mean, I remember when LeBron James was coming into the NBA and people looked at his family situation and thought, this is going to explode in absolutely the worst way. And yet here he is 38 and has had the career that, trust me, people would not have dreamed up for LeBron back when he was a teenager coming into the NBA. Right now, Ja Morant, for as amazing as he is on the court, he has to hopefully use this time away from the team to figure things out because, guys, as tough as the West is, it's there for the Grizzlies to have a chance to get to the Western Finals because, you know, I was watching on Friday night as an ESPN analyst laid it out. You know, this is a team that could, even with Brandon Clark now out with an Achilles tendon injury for the rest of the season, you know, if they could hold on to the two seed, you know, you could watch Golden State, the defending champs, and Phoenix battle in the first round, and then maybe potentially Denver and whoever wins that series in the second round, and the Grizzlies could find themselves with an easier path to the Western Finals. But it all depends on Ja Morant, you know, growing up. And guys, his parents lived down the street from him in Memphis. He bought them a home last year. And, you know, this, you would think, you know, he's got the daughter. I mean, you know, on the court, you know, when you see him, everything was great. But, you know, that was a not good look for a guy to be in a club holding an apparent gun beside his head hours after blowing a big lead at the Denver Nuggets, the number one team, the team that they had a chance to take two straight from and maybe potentially start closing that gap with them in the one seed. And, you know, he's got a lot, you know, that's the thing. We don't know. There's no timetable for his return to the team. Now, thankfully, they've got Tyus Jones to help fill in at point guard, but, you know, he's got to get some things straight because, you know, this is a young team. Last year, not a player 30 or over made a bucket for the Grizzlies. They're not much older this season. It's time for them to mature, and Ja Morant is the head of that team. He's the face of that franchise in a town that has dealt with so much so recently. It's important for him to grow up and grow up fast. But we don't know when he's going to be rejoining the team. They're back home Thursday night hosting the Golden State Warriors in a West that everybody who was somebody seemed to come West at the trade deadline. So it's absolutely something to watch. And I wish I could look into my Magic 8-ball and say it's going to be all right. But no, we don't know. We don't know what the NBA is going to do. Do they suspend him? I mean, once upon a time, they handed out a 50-game suspension to somebody who had a gun in a team locker room. And here's the thing. They were on a road trip. If that gun was his, how did he get it to Denver? Because that was the second game in their road trip.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Teresa, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
And next time, I promise I'll have my Do Not Disturb turned off a little sooner.
Oh, you nailed it. It was all good. Appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks,
absolutely. Teresa Walker, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll get a little bit deeper into the Ja Morant situation that's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies right now. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant or the Red Rant every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And you know, I'm just going to kind of pick up where Teresa left off there. There's a pretty serious situation going on with Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies right now. For those who may have missed it, he went on Instagram Live early Saturday morning while out on the road and appeared to be in a nightclub and appeared to have what looked like a gun kind of flashing around right next to his head and went live there, and that has generated a ton of reaction. The Memphis Grizzlies have basically suspended him. He's indefinitely benched from the team. Taylor Jenkins, their head coach, really didn't offer a timetable. They're just kind of letting this thing go and letting Ja Morant step away from the team and try to get some healing and try to get some help in this process. And this is not the first incident that has come up with Ja Morant and a gun. There was some stories that came out, I think, last Wednesday. The Washington Post came out with a story of a 17-year-old boy accusing Ja Morant of coming out of his house with a gun in his waistband and his hand, the weapon, following, I guess, a pickup basketball game in his backyard. And there was another incident involving an exchange with a security guard in a mall parking lot. So,
and then there was the Pacers
and then
incident
there's the Pacers
with
incident.
The red laser dot, right?
Exactly. So there's a lot of things that have been going on with Ja Morant. as it relates to firearms and guns, and obviously the Instagram Live is the latest incident there. Look, I don't know what's going to happen here, and the on-the-court stuff is one thing, like how this factors into the Western Conference and all that stuff. Like, I agree with Teresa. Like, I think if he's healthy and they're all good and ready to go, they've got a chance to be a dangerous team in the Western Conference. Now, honestly, I think that part of it's kind of secondary. Like, this is, I think, should be and hopefully is a big wake-up call to Ja Morant. And there have been several different people that have commented on this. Like, Jalen Rose had some good comments on the Ja Morant situation, kind of relating things back to his background and what he dealt with coming into the NBA. You know, Shannon Sharp has had some interesting comments on this as well. Like, I hope that this time away from the team is a time of reflection for Ja Morant. And as Teresa put it in the last segment, maybe grows up a little bit, because going on Instagram Live and, you know, flashing a handgun around and putting it next to your head, doing stuff like that, is obviously incredibly serious. The other incidents that we brought up are incredibly serious. And you just can't have stuff like that in the NBA. And you're talking about a kid that's still really young, yes, but he's got such a promising career in front of him. You don't want something like this to ruin that. And you don't want something like this to cause him to make decisions that could be decisions that he ends up paying for his entire life. This is, I saw that video over the weekend, and it was just heartbreaking to watch that happen with Ja Morant. And I'm hoping that this is something that he learns from. I have no idea what's going to happen NBA-wise with this. Like, the Colorado police are looking into whether or not he broke any laws up there, and maybe some action that can be taken there. The NBA is looking into it and investigating this as well. As Teresa said, there could be a suspension coming from this. I have no idea the way this is going to work out with Ja Morant, but there is a very concerning pattern of behavior that is starting to develop with Ja Morant that is way more serious than anything on the basketball court.
No doubt. It's really, really disturbing. It's really serious. It's way too far. I think there's some enabling here. I think support system, his dad's courtside all the time. Like, this is where support system really needs to kick in. But ultimately, it's on him to figure this out. This is right now, it's teetering on the edge of an amazing story gone really bad.
Yep.
And it could have gone obviously really bad already. I think the gun stuff, obviously, there's a pattern here. There's also Shams Charania reported too this week that in a recent team meeting, Steven Adams basically was like, guys, if you look at their road record versus home, it's a stark contrast.
And they're 12-20 on the road.
Basically, like, guys, we can't go to the club every night on the road. And basically, without saying Ja's name, pointing at Ja.
Yeah.
So you kind of put it all together. You look at that video, he wasn't in a good frame of mind when he did that.
No.
Clearly. But, think about how you get to that point to where you would choose to do what he did there. So it's there's a lot of enabling that has gone on for sure. And now it's got to be a lot of self-reflection, but also the support people here. He's had this thing where the media's out to get him now, man. If anything, I think people have made too many excuses for him.
Agreed.
And he's got to figure this out.
Oh, it's on him. You're a grown man. I understand he's young, but you're a grown man in the NBA making your own decisions. Like, this has got to be something that he figures out. And look, he's put out a statement talking about, he recognizes the seriousness of what's going on, and he's going to take some time to reflect. Look, I hope that's true. I hope this is a time where he can recognize, before things get too out of control, the pattern of behavior that he's on right now, because this is something that, if it continues this way, it's going to end up being really bad at some point. And you would hate to see something like that happen. Yes, for the player that he is, but also, you're talking about, a young person in this discussion too. And it's just, I saw that Instagram Live over the weekend. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. Like, how can you be that stupid to go out and do something like that? Number one, to do it. And number two, to put it on Instagram Live. Like, you just got to be smarter than that.
And someone, also, by the way, people helped him do it too. And
exactly.
It's like, whoever those people, all of you who thought this was a good idea.
Well, and it's Teresa.
Check yourself.
Teresa brings up a great point. They're on the road.
Yeah.
So where'd that gun come from?
Right.
Well, and that's what I was going to say to your point, Robbie. I mean, in Tennessee, our gun laws aren't very strict. I don't know what they are in Colorado, but as far as traveling over state lines and they were on a road trip, you know, that's a whole nother level of this.
Well, I don't know the NBA rule book back to front, but I'm going to go out and guess that they don't want firearms on their private planes flying out there.
I'm thinking that's accurate.
So I'm just really, really interested to see what happens here. I'm really hopeful that this is something that is a turning point for Ja Morant and that he can put issues like this behind him. But there's no question this is a very concerning pattern of behavior that's starting to come out with Ja Morant.
Yeah, and look, this is a guy – I mean, he's one of the faces of the NBA really already, but like could be on a shorter list of that in the years to come. That's what should happen. And you just, like you said, there's things more important than the sporting aspect of this, but this is, this feels like a really critical moment in his life.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Take your thoughts on that as well. Reports of Derrick Henry being shopped by the Titans, some quarterback movement in the NFL yesterday as well. We'll get into all of it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.